voice is in the lower range tonight.
Good evening. Praise God. God's doing some good stuff in us. Oh, just realized I have no drummer and I don't have my keyboard set. You guys got to be the drums or something. Okay, maybe not. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got His life, His nature, and His ability. I've got the life of God in me. I just like to sing that song. It just kind of has the life of God. And the more you sing it and you believe it, the more life of God comes up inside you. I've got the life of God in me. Christ from the dead dwells in you. He dwells in you. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal bodies by His spirit that dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal bodies since that spirit dwells in you. Do you guys know this song? Since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Some songs so you can sing them throughout the week. Now we got to personalize it and say, it dwells in me, because now we got to know how to sing it to ourselves. It's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me. It's that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I thank you that tonight we receive a charge of the Holy Ghost in our bodies. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Oh, you dance over me while I am unaware. You sing.
strength to her. Just receive the anointing right now. Let some healing right now happen. Strength of God. Okay, you can be seated there. Praise God. Hello, welcome. Very unusually low crowd tonight, but God knew who was going to be here. And when I was walking this morning with the Lord, I felt, give me signals. I felt like the Lord gave me the message. You know how it's by His Spirit. We don't want to hear what any person has to say. We want to hear what God has to say. And so when I come here, you don't want to know what Veronica has to say. It's not much. But when you tap into the Holy Spirit, He knows all things. Remember 1 John 2:20, we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. He's in us. His wisdom, His knowledge, everything that we need. And so, you know, it's interesting when the Lord gives you a certain message and then He just brings certain people that need it. I mean, this is how He does it. And so you guys aren't here by accident. The Lord has something to say. So I was walking, just getting some exercise, and I'm talking to the Lord. And I said, you know, what do you want to say today? And He gave me two messages. Don't worry. Don't get scared. Won't be long. Two messages. And, you know, He kind of shared the gist of them, both. I was thinking, that is so weird. I don't think I've ever come here with two messages. And so I came in, after I came back to the house, I went to the computer, pulled up my Bible software, typing out, pulling the scriptures and typing out the notes. And I printed this one message, you know. And then I go to the other message and I pull the scriptures and I type out the words and the notes and everything. And I print that one. So I got two messages. And a couple of hours later, I'm just musing on it in my heart. The Lord showed me how they weren't two separate messages, but they were one. They went together perfectly. And He showed me the link between the two, and I thought, that is only God can do things like that. So let's hear what God has to say tonight, you know? And let's pray. Lord, we do ask you to speak to our hearts. I thank you that you have inspired the message. Now I pray that you'll grace me to speak it and to express it just so that we can get a hold of it, Lord, and see the truth that'll set us free. And I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is sharing the truth with us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's turn to Matthew 15. And let me share something with you. I'll tell you that the two messages, the one message, no, you're good. We like talking so we can communicate here. If you want it, you can grab it, but if not, he will put the scriptures up there on the screen for us. Make it easy. Okay, so Matthew 15. Okay, the two separate thoughts here that he gave me. One was about humility and how linked it is to healing. There is a direct connection between humility and healing. And people that have humbled themselves have received healing. Definitely. People that are proud and just arrogant, they don't receive healing. Well, you know what I'm saying? It's a real connection. The other thing he told me to bring out is how he took away all our diseases, took them away. Now, when I first looked at it, I was thinking that's two totally different thoughts. But I'll show you the connection in a little bit here. So Matthew 15, I'm going to start in verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. So her daughter has got demon problems. Who knows how that got in her? I mean, she's not an Israelite. This is a Canaanite woman. So she's not one of God's people, not under God's covenant. Probably Canaanites lived, you know, in the lifestyle that there was demon activity, don't you think? And so she comes to the Lord and asks for him to help her and have mercy on her. But he answered her not a word. And now the Bible says that the Lord ignores vanity. So I imagine that if the Lord is ignoring her, there had to be some pride or vanity or something there. You know, what? Why was she calling Jesus, thou son of David? What would a Canaanite think? Why would they use that phrase, son of David? That's an Israelite term, saying that you came from the lineage of David. It's a Hebrew thing, you know, a Jewish thing. So maybe she borrowed that from someone else. She thought, you know, they got healed. I'll try it, and I'll see if I can get my healing or something, you know. Could have been. But for some reason, the Lord ignored her. And the Lord, you know the Lord, he's not rude. He's a gentleman. He's the most loving person there ever is, was. I mean, he originated love, right? So if he ignored her, there was a reason why. So he didn't answer her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. Now, some people might get really offended by that. You know, let's say you came up to get healed, and my people that are helping me in the service here said, Veronica, send that person away. They're bugging us. I mean, you could get really offended, right? But she could have gotten offended and said, well, what's Canaanite? People are just as good as you, and just went off in a huff without her healing. But she shook that one off and decided not to be offended by it. And then in verse 24, he answered her now, and he said, I was not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, so even though she came speaking, thou son of David, have mercy on me, now she knows that he knows she's not an Israelite. She's not part of the covenant people. She sees that now, that he knows past my pretending to know something here, and he can see it. And so then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now that, to me, sounds sincere. We got past all the junk, And we're really down to the heart of things right now. And when you worship the Lord, this is not just singing songs. This worship means she bowed herself before him and said, "Help me." That is humble there. So she decided not to get offended and run off, but she stayed there and humbled herself before the Lord and said, "Help." You know, that cry for help is one of the best prayers you could ever pray. If you come to God and you say, "I'm not all that bad, you know, maybe I have this problem, whatever, but I'm not bad. Look at all those terrible people out there." You're not even close to getting right with God. You're not even close to having his blessings and his favor on you. But when you come to God and say, "I'm a mess, I need help, God, please help me." And no matter where we are in life, no matter how high up we are, influential, or no matter what all we have, we never get to the place where we don't need God's help, right? There are times that are desperate, and we come to those times and we say, "God, I need your help." And that's the kind of attitude that draws the healing power of God. So let's see what happens. When she said, "Lord, help me," he answered and said, "It's not meet," or "it's not right, to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Now, in essence, he just called her a dog. It's not right to take what belongs to the Israelite covenant people of God and throw it to you guys, you old dogs, you. I mean, she could have really been offended. What do you mean, dogs? We're just as good as anybody else. But, you know, if that daughter is demonized, I mean, those Canaanites, they must live like dogs. They must have just, you know, not had any morality. Or, you know what I'm saying? You know some heathens that are just heathen, and they don't know God at all. And he basically said, it's not right to take what belongs to God's people and to give it to nobody. You remember how Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearls before swine," or "Don't give that which is holy to dogs," because they'll just stomp on it and turn around and make and just tear you up too. And so, in other words, he's saying this belongs to God's people. You were not God's people at that time. Now that we know that the Gentiles could come in after Jesus has died. So she said, in verse 27, "Truth, Lord." In other words, "Lord, you're right. You're right. You're right. We live like dogs. You're right, Lord." Said, so, "Can I just have a crumb, please?" You almost could imagine a smile coming out on Jesus' face, because now this woman is in position to receive healing. She came in with all this, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me," and she's trying to get a healing. And then through this, the Lord brought her to the place where she realized, "I need help." And she acknowledged what the Lord said about her, said, "That's the truth, Lord." And then she said, "Please, can I have a crumb?" And when you come to the Lord like that, it draws him. Wouldn't that to you? If someone came to you and they said, "Please help me," and they weren't trying to be conning you or doing something to try to get things, but they were sincere, it would draw on your compassion inside you. And so what was interesting is the next verse, Jesus said to her, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you, even as you will." And the daughter was healed and made whole from that very hour. So this daughter, the demons left her. She was healed from all the stuff that was torturing her because her mother had the faith enough to go and humble herself and be broken and be nothing before God, before Jesus. And I have seen testimonies of people that way that have just poured out themselves and just broke down before God. And healing, great miraculous healings have happened. There was one particular lady, her testimony was in Kenneth Copeland's magazine years ago, and she had AIDS, and we probably know how she got it. Not really going to church and doing right, but probably other things, you know. that she got AIDS, but she had two little children, and one day she just fell on the living room floor and cried and broke down and sobbed before God and said, "God, please have mercy on me. I have two young children and I can't leave them. I don't want to leave them alone. I don't want them to be orphaned. God, please." And she just broke down before God. "I need help." And you know, the Lord healed her. That's why her testimony was in the magazine. The Lord healed her of AIDS because she broke down before God. God can do anything to those that come to him in faith and trust him. It's just a matter of our hearts being right. And you know that pride will actually block you from receiving healing. So don't get scared, because pride is something that's in all of us. It's part of the nature of our flesh. It's something that we all have to deal with. And it's kind of funny when you hear someone say, "I don't ever have to deal with pride." That really kind of is funny, because we all do, right? We all have to deal with it. So let me tell you a few things about humility, that some qualities about a humble person that draws healing towards them. Number one, a humble person is teachable. That means that when you're talking with them, they don't just say, I know. And if I've been talking to someone and they say, "I know," it actually stops the flow of thoughts and ideas and scriptures that was trying to help them. When they say, "I know," it's like all of a sudden I go blank inside and I don't know what to say, because they just put the brakes on when they say, "I know." It's just normal to feel that way, to say, "I know, I've heard it a million times." But you know, even if there's something that you've heard a lot of times, if you're teachable, you say, "Man, I've heard that so many times, but for some reason, I must not have it yet, because if the Lord's telling you to tell that to me, I must need to hear it again. God, help me to get it. I mean, tell me 100 more times, if whatever it takes, God, until I get it," right? If you have that kind of attitude, then you can be helped. But when you say, I know, then you actually push the help away. Okay, so that's number one, teachable. Number two, a humble person listens really carefully. They listen. They don't act like they already know it. Let me just say it this way. I've been talking to some people and trying to share scriptures that will help them, and asking, "Lord," looking down on the inside of my heart, "Lord, what can I help them with? Because they need help," and I'm trying to minister to them. And they would interrupt me and start talking right in the middle of me talking, and just talk right over the top of me. And so, I mean, I don't like to do that, so I just stop talking. But you know, if I stop talking, then there's no help coming to them, right? They were very arrogant, and they already knew what they needed, and they didn't need anybody to tell them what they needed. So they just kind of didn't want to hear it, and they just told me all about what they knew, which they already knew what they knew, but they didn't know what I knew because they weren't listening. But I found that humble person listens really carefully. Like, if you're sharing and they say, "I need help, can you please pray with me or help me with this and counsel me about something?" A humble person will listen to everything you're saying and say, "Okay, so the Bible says this," and they would listen to, "And how do I do this?" And they would actually, by listening intently, pull the knowledge out of you. There's a scripture, Tim, in Proverbs 20, verse 5, that says something about drawing wisdom out of people. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So if Dan, my husband, he had knowledge about something. If I was a person of understanding, I would go to him and ask him questions. I'd say, "Dan, tell me about this. How does this work? what am I doing wrong? And sometimes I have done that, haven't I? And he's done that with me too. We're like, let me just bounce this off of you and tell me what I'm doing wrong. What I feel like I'm missing it somewhere. And by asking that question and listening, it actually pulls it out of him. And he'll find himself sharing things with me that he never really even meant to try to think it up. It just came out of his heart. Because after you've walked with the Lord for decades, and you've been in church and you've heard scriptures and scriptures, it's like you've got all of this like treasures down on the inside of you. And if anybody is hungry and they get close to you, they pull it out of you. There's a lady that lives in our neighborhood. Every time she talks with me, I find myself preaching to her. And I don't mean to. I'm not like setting out to preach to her. There's not anybody else in the neighborhood that does that to me. But she's hungry, and every time she gets around me, she just pulls things out, and I tell her testimonies of what God's been doing lately and the scripture that's come alive to me lately, and she pulls it out of me. And here I'm the same person to her as I am to anybody else. How come other people don't pull it out of me, all those things? You know, because they didn't know it was in there, probably. Like, oh, yeah, she just accepted everything and just hungry, just pulls it out and just wants to hear more and more and more. And there's certain people that are like that, and it just pulls things out of you. And you get around people that aren't hungry, and nothing comes out. You just talk about the weather, you know, politics and the weather and what else, you know what I'm saying? You don't have anything. There's like no flow. But a person that's really humble will draw it out. And I heard, let me see. Okay, let me just keep going here. Number three, a really humble person obeys whatever recommendations or suggestions are given to them. So, you know, if you just shared something with a person in need, and they're like, well, whatever, and they just go their way and they don't do it, then you can't help them much, right? But if they said, okay, I'm going to do that, and as soon as they hang up the phone or as soon as they leave you, they go and do it, then they can be helped, and God can help them, right? And it's not just a person, but, I mean, even from God. If God suggests something in our hearts, and we say, okay, you're right, God, I'm going to do it, then we're on the path towards receiving some healing. Number four. A truly humble person can receive from anyone, no matter what size. I know I'm really small. No matter what gender, no matter what race, no matter what age, a truly humble person can receive from anyone. If they're hungry, if they're desperate, they will listen to anybody that will help them, right? And they will listen to God and trust that God can speak to them through any different kinds of means. Not just, I only listen to Pastor so-and-so. I don't listen to all these riffraff people over here. No, I mean, God can speak to you through a donkey, right, in the Bible. The Lord can speak to us in all kinds of different ways, through a book, through a minister on TV, through a magazine, through a conversation that two other people are having, and you weren't even in that conversation, but you heard something, then it was exactly what you needed. The Lord can really minister to you when you can receive from anyone. Number five, the last one here, a really humble person will receive correction with gratitude. If you say, man, you're just off, you're just missing it, and you're not doing so right, I mean, the Bible says this, and you're not doing that, they're like, oh, thank you for helping me show that to me. A person that's really humble will be grateful to receive correction. And a person that's foolish and not and proud and arrogant, they're like, well, I don't know about you. You know, I know what I know. And they just go off, and they won't receive. That's the thing. I mean, we're here to receive from God. And we don't want anything to block it. And so if we have this really open, humble heart, God will bring healing to us. I'm telling you, he will move heaven and earth to get healing to you and finances or whatever else your need is. I mean, he will do all kinds of things for that. So when a person really humbles themselves, and you know, the best definition of humility is reality. To be real. You're not pretending that you're something else that you're not, whether higher or lower. I mean, you're just who you are. Plain old vanilla, here I am. I am me, you know? And that is real humility. And so when a person can humble themselves and break down before God and say, I need help, then they're in a position to receive healing. Now, I was looking in, that was the first message, second message coming. I was looking in Leviticus 16. And I was looking at the scapegoat, because in the Old Testament, the scapegoat took the sins of the people and then was taken out into the wilderness and took all the sins of the people away, like that. And verse 29 in Leviticus 16, 29. Now in the King James here, it says, this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or stranger. Okay. So the phrase in the middle that says you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. Basically, you're saying you shall humble your souls. There was a translation that I read that said you will humble yourself by doing no work. I thought, oh, what a statement. How humbling it is to do nothing but to have your needs met. It almost can be embarrassing, really. It's humiliating, right? Did you find one? So the humility sometimes it comes with not doing any work. You're not doing any work at all. Now, I've got to tell you very plainly that you can do nothing to get your healing. Whatever healing you need, Joseph, you know, I know you're trusting God for lots of things, but there's nothing you can do to get your healing. You know why? Thank you. Jesus already got it. Jesus already got it for you. He already got it. There is nothing that you can do to earn your healing, to work towards your healing, to try to get your healing. Nothing. And it's very humbling to realize you go before God and say, I can't do anything to earn a healing. And here I am, but I need your help. And that humility, knowing and getting an understanding that Jesus already got your healing, is what we have to stand in. We have to hold on to it. And that is how healing comes, is when we believe what he said about it in the Bible. So let's go to a very, very famous verse here that we know really well. Matthew 8, verse 17. And this is such a strong verse on healing, because this links healing to the work of Jesus on the cross. It's not just God's sovereignty. It's not that God just picks a couple people he wants to heal and others he just doesn't want to heal them. It's not based on that at all. There, God has a perfectly legal right to bring healing to us because of the work of Jesus on the cross. So here we go. Sorry about this message. I know talking about humility is kind of sobering, isn't it? You know, but it's good. It's really good. And wise people will grasp hold of that and say, that's me. That's me. I want that. Okay. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus, and so he was fulfilling it here. If you look at the verses before in this chapter, he's talking about healing people of their diseases. And this fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy that said, he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. He took them. So the a couple other translations, you don't have them back there, Tim, so don't worry about it. The Bible in Basic English says that he himself took our pains and our diseases. He himself took them, praise God, our pains and our diseases. And the English Revised Version says he took away our diseases and carried away our sicknesses. I like that because that gives you better light on what he did. He didn't just like standing right here in front of you, took it, and now he's standing there holding it. He actually took it away and removed it over there somewhere. Okay, so it's a different picture. He took it away. Now, the word infirmities, the Greek word asthenia, means feebleness, strengthlessness, frailty, weakness. That's what infirmity is. You have no strength, you're frail, you're withering away, you have no strength, you're weak. That's the infirmities. The word sicknesses, of course, would be disease or sickness. And when it says that he took them, listen to this. The definition in the Greek and the Strong's Concordance is to take in order to carry away, like I just showed you, to remove, to take away, to and then the word where it says he bare our sicknesses, that word bare, means to lift through the idea of removal. To put upon oneself, to bear away, carry off, to transport from one place to another. So, according to this verse, I felt like the Lord said, just chew on this verse. So we're chewing right now. Okay? We're like, this word and thinking about this word. That's how you meditate, is to chew on something, you know? You think, this word, wow, interesting word. And then you go to another word in the verse and you think about that word for a while. So that's what we're doing. But Jesus, according to this verse, which is according to Isaiah's prophecy also, he took your sicknesses and your weaknesses and frailty and all that, and he took it away. So now, where is your sickness? It's gone. So if you were to say, I'm sick, I understand you might have some symptoms of feelings there, but according to the Bible, you don't have to have it because Jesus took it. It's like this. You remember when Abraham Lincoln finally, at the close of the Civil War, gave the Emancipation Proclamation, and he proclaimed freedom to all the slaves out there, but it didn't mean they're automatically free, right? There are still some slave masters that didn't want to let go of their slaves. Oh my God, I'm not going to tell them that they're free, you know, until the word finally got to them, they couldn't be free. And so you're free according to what Jesus conquered on the cross and conquered death and hell and rose again. You're free from all sickness, all disease and pain and weakness, every bit of it. You're free. Now you just need somebody like me to come along and just tell you, you're free. And I heard someone say it this way, the prison doors are open. What are you still doing inside? So if you're free, all you have to do is take that scripture and say, according to God's word, Jesus took away all my sicknesses and diseases. Free indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he took him away. So that means that whatever the enemy is trying to still put on you is a lie. And it's against the law, you know. He's doing it unlawfully. It's doing it something that's not according to God's word. Because according to God's word, you know, when that Emancipation Proclamation went out, according to the law, you're free. What are you going to do? Just keep serving that slave master all the time? Just because you're scared to buck against him you know? I mean, he has a gun, maybe. Who knows? He might try and come after you if you leave. But according to the law, you're free. You are free. And if you try to take hold of your freedom, all of the law will back you up. Every bit of it will sustain you and protect you. Isn't that nice how the law will protect you? And so whatever sicknesses that you might be dealing with inside your body right now, just realize it is of the enemy. It is not yours. It is not something that you have to put up with or live with or tolerate. It is something that you need to just clean house and get it out, run it out. Sometimes we tolerate things. We just go take medicine. We just do this or that. But we don't actually get mad and stirred up and run it out. And that's the only thing that's going to help. So I've told you several of these little illustrations before or testimonies before, but I'll tell you a few more just to prove the point or pound it in. One time I was thinking of, just popped in my head, was this time when we had a little puppy named Strawberry. Strawberry was a Pomeranian, a miniature Pomeranian. So she was just a ball of fur. It was a little yap, 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 you know, just a little tiny thing. Well, at one point in her life, she started wheezing. Just, I don't know how she did it. Can you demonstrate, dear? She did this wheezing thing where it was like cats trying to cough up a fur of hairball or something, where she just was coughing back, you know, in and out of her lungs like that. Wheezing, that's all I can tell you. You know, that's really what it was. And so we told his parents about it because they have the parent dog, the mother dog. And they said, well, you better deal with that because that's what the parent dog died from, was that wheezing stuff. It gave her a heart attack and the dog died. Right? Something like that. No? Okay. That's what they said. That's what they said, that princess died that way. Okay, so Dan and I, when we heard her say that, we said, that's right. We are going to deal with this. So we go home. We pick up Strawberry, put our hands on her. So we command you to be healed in Jesus' name. We command this wheezing to stop. And we got mad about it. You got to get mad. If you're going to deal with, slave driver that's been your slave, you got to get mad and deal firmly with it and don't play around with it. That dog was healed. I'm telling you, she never wheezed again. She's not here anymore because she got old and died. But she died of old age, not from wheezing. So she was healed. There are other times in our lives, too, where we felt like we had to deal with it. And when we got mad about it and quit playing with it and quit just tolerating it. But we said, that's it. I'm done. You know, you say, I'm mad. You know, I don't even look mad when I say it, but I try. Anyway, when you're dealing with the devil, you have to be firm because he is like an unruly child. And he will test the boundaries, and he will see if you really understand your authority or not. And so you, when you're dealing with the devil that's trying to put things on your body, you say, absolutely not. Get out of my body in Jesus' name. And when you say it like that, he goes. If you say it wimpy-like, he will not go. And so some people say, I tried to resist the devil, but he didn't go. That's the reason why. You don't try. You do it. You do it. You command him to go, and you don't take no for an answer. So one time I had this problem in my lungs that I just had to constantly clear my throat. I think I've told you about this, and it was just in there. And I had been prayed for and got healing and resisted it and got healing, and it just seemed like really persistent. One day, I was up at the church here teaching piano lessons, and after I finished, I was waiting for the evening to come so I could teach the Faith School of Ministry class. And so I was in the sanctuary, and I was sitting right here in front of this pew right here. and I'm just talking to the Lord. It's just me all alone in the sanctuary with the Lord, just talking with him. And I just started thinking about that in my lungs. And I just got stirred up about it. And I put my hand on my chest and I said, I command this to leave my body, and I am not backing down. That is my final answer, and I am not changing my mind. And when I said it like that, I felt it lift out of my lungs. I felt my lungs open up, and I could breathe perfectly well. But all the other times I'd resisted it, and it just didn't really feel like it had gone. But when I said, that's it, I am not playing with this anymore, and you get mad about it, then it goes. So I'm encouraging you, don't be afraid. If you have things in your body that are not supposed to be there, you stir yourself up and say, I am not having this, no way. And just get mad about it. And got lots of other things to say, but I think I'm just going to wrap it up here. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, you know that when Jesus dealt with the sin problem, he dealt with all sicknesses and all the effects of sin. So when he took our transgressions far from us, that's where our sickness went to. As far as the east is from the west, I want you to get a picture. I'm painting a picture of health for you. Because that is what the Bible says about you. All around the world, they tell you how sick you are and how much you need a doctor and medicine and everything else. And they paint a picture of sickness for you. But the Bible paints a picture of health. And I want you to see yourself free from all sickness, all disease, not because you are good enough, not because you did anything. It's humbling to receive like that, isn't it? Say, Jesus, you did it. You did it all. You didn't even leave me something to do. I mean, you did it all. The only response we can give to that gracious kindness of him is to just say thank you, right? So I had this relative that I went to go trim the bushes at their house for them because they needed help with trimming the bushes. And they got so mad. They're like, I can do this myself. I didn't want you to come over here and do this for me. And if he had been my child, my daughter, I would have said, no, 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 no. That's not what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, thank you for trimming my bushes. But you can't tell it to them, right? But that's the only thing you can say. You can't say, God, I'm earning this. I'm quoting healing scriptures, and I'm rebuking and praying and all this stuff. Even after you've rebuked the devil soundly, that's it. You just stand there and receive your healing. I think if I were to have something like that in my physical body, I would say, devil, you're a liar. Get out of my body. And then I would just start praising God. Thank you, Lord. And I would probably lay hands on my head and say, I receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. I believe I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Thank you. You're such a good God. Well, let's do it. Come on, let's thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for healing me, Lord. By your stripes, by your crucifixion, Lord, by your death, I get to be free and well and healthy and full of life and energy and strength, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You paid a high price for me. Thank you, God. Huh. Praise God. You know, as you continue praising him like that, healing flows. That's humility. You remember the woman that came to Jesus? It said she worshiped him and said, help me. And that worship is an act of your faith, and it draws the healing towards you. Now, let me just say this last thing here. If Jesus took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses, and you take them too, then he did it in vain. It was for nothing. He died for nothing if we're going to be sick and just have all of the punishment on ourselves. We don't want him to have done it for nothing. We're going to just thank him and be so grateful to him for what he accomplished for us that we're going to enjoy all the blessings, right? That's how you're grateful to him. Just walk in that health he provided. Just walk in that righteousness that he made you righteous, right? And enjoy him. Enjoy his strength and enjoy what he's provided for you. And even though we don't deserve it, that's not going to stop us from having it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, before we go, does anybody need some prayer? Anybody need something? Anybody need to be saved? Anybody need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and or receive their healing or anything? Yeah, I haven't seen her in a little while. Okay.